Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day, America. It's a beautiful spring day as we're recording this. It's an important day. I've been traveling along with co-host Mike Carter across the nation to awaken us to the benefits of constitutional currency, aka pirate money, and we're making great progress with advances in Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Florida in the past month. We did get a veto from the Utah governor we're working to override. We're talking legislative crunch time, and so I've been in state capitals, whether it's Tallahassee or Austin or Salt Lake. State legislators in two dozen states have been considering making gold and silver available to you, America, as money that can not only preserve your purchasing power, but also function as spendable currency. So joining me in both the pirate money efforts and as co-host of this program, we have the incomparable Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, great to be here.
You know what show this is? Episode 53, which means we've completed a full year. This is our first episode of the second year.
It's our anniversary. I kind of feel like your wife should be here, though, instead of me.
All right. She'll be here next week.
Okay. All right.
And we've had lots of travel the past couple of weeks. We've been in, as I mentioned, Florida and Texas, back and forth, Tallahassee, Austin, Tallahassee, and then booking flights now to Salt Lake City. Yep. We were driving back from Austin recently, though, and yes, this is pre-recorded, but we were driving back and we were listening to AM radio for news and opinion. It helped keep us awake.
It did. It did. Once we could find it.
That was the problem. Yeah, we had to stop at Bucky's for coffee, turn on the AM radio. You know, we had this incredible beamer that we used, and it had an amazing dashboard on it, but it was
the Star Trek Enterprise. I could have been Captain Kirk driving this car. So we got an upgrade that was given to us, and I'm like, I don't know how any of this thing works, but I know how to basically drive, but I found it somewhat distracting. Temperature, I mean, everything had buttons you had to push and then go through menus.
Took forever to find that AM radio. I wondered if they'd already taken it away. You know, it's like dealing with my refrigerator. It's so complex. I push the buttons on my refrigerator, and now the water just keeps running. And so I had to put the child lock on, and I have to take it off to get water because the switch doesn't work. Sometimes too high-tech is not good, and I think that's a problem that we may be facing. What if our AM radios went away? Because they're easy to use, it's simple technology, it's beneficial. So we've got a special guest today. We've invited Troy Miller, who's the president of National Religious Broadcasters. He wrote an incredible op-ed on why we need AM radio. Welcome, Troy, to the Pirate Money Radio program.
Hey, great to be with you today, Kevin.
Well, you know, I saw your op-ed, and I wanted you to share those thoughts with all of our listeners. They're listening on a lot of AM stations right now as we're talking. Why is AM radio in danger?
Well, look, first of all, AM radio is extremely important to folks in the rural areas of America. Like you said, there's a lot of listeners out there. There's well over 40 million people that still listen and depend on AM radio daily. So the car manufacturers have decided that maybe in their eyes, that AM radio is older, outdated technology. And in the last administration with the electric vehicle push, they came up with this idea. AM radio has too much interference with the battery, and the battery interferes with AM radio. So we just need to get rid of it. It's outdated technology. That really was debunked, Kevin and Mike, pretty quick, because the government accounting office came out and said, look, you're talking about anywhere from a $9 part to a $35 part to take care of that interference. So we started to look into this, and there's a lot more going on behind the scenes to get AM radio out of the dash.
Well, I don't like the idea that the car makers are determining what information I can get and have access to. I mean, as a kid, AM radio was everything. It was my freedom. Do you remember getting your first transistor radio, Mike?
Absolutely. And when I hear it cost $9 to stop the interference, I mean, I remember getting little resistors and things like that, that you'd always get a little resistance from a power line or something like that. But there's things you could tweak to do. So as high tech as we are, very hard to believe that they're saying, well, we can't make the technologies work together. That's the narrative.
I think it's the car makers wanting to control what we hear and maybe even make a little money off of it. And I love my Sirius XM radio, and I use that all the time. But on the other hand, I wonder, you know, when they put that in and give me a free trial, how much did the car maker get kickback when I pay for that subscription? AM radio is freedom.
Yes.
You get to do what you want. So
it's freedom, and it also, I think, gives you diversity because, you know, if you're driving with AM, you're driving across the country, it kind of gives you a heartbeat of America a little bit. You take some long trips, you get tired of songs, you get maybe even tired of podcasts, and you're flipping through the stations, you're scanning, you're hearing things you would not normally hear. That's good for America.
I remember pulling into Winslow, Arizona, and the Eagle song was on my mind and on the radio at the time. My wife and I looked at each other. How did they know?
Well, we had that happen as we were driving up. Right? We're talking about AM radio, and it's kind of freaky because it wasn't Apple. AM's not tied to Siri that I know of yet. And we heard the Israel, the importance of AM for national emergencies. Israel was pushing some initiative there.
Yeah, no, we heard that on the radio while we were riding and preparing to talk to you, Troy, about this. So maybe it is, you know, the universe understands. But anyway, Troy, so in your op-ed, you talk about the connected dashboards. You talk about Congress made progress with legislation. So where do we stand on this? We've got the whole hour to talk with you about this and NRB, but just describe the whole AM, why it's important to America.
Yeah, and you guys really nailed it there, this idea about the connected dashboard. And I think, earlier talking about, you know, you get into a car today, it's got this big 9-10-inch screen. Some of them have a 12-inch screen in them. Everything runs through that now. Your buttons are all gone. It's all running through that. You run your AC and everything. Well, one of the things they want to run through that is the information you can get to. And so car manufacturers have figured out. I mean, I had a friend that recently bought a brand new, you know, Chevy Suburban, and you have to sign up for a subscription in order to get their navigation system to work. And so there's a lot of money that the car manufacturers can make through these subscriptions, and then they become the gatekeepers of the information inside the car. But look, in rural America, and across America, this is very important. Right now, the emergency broadcast system that gives us all our information in times of natural disasters or other, you know, national emergencies are going on, AM radio is the primary platform that's communicated through. The AM signal is better fitted to be able to power through storms. You know, we just had a massive set of storms go through Tennessee here last night, and you know, satellite TVs down, cable systems were offline, cellular system was spotty, but the weather radio setting in my bedroom there was spot on, telling me, you know, where the storms were, what was going on, the alerts were there. And so this is very important for people from an emergency broadcast standpoint. And living in Florida, any of you guys, Florida and Texas, you know, when hurricanes come through, you depend on AM radio to tell you when to hit shelter, and then after it's all over, where to find the help you need to find.
Yeah. Is that what NOAA runs on? That's that little weather radio I've got in my bedroom is an AM radio. Is that right?
Yeah, most of those are on AM frequencies.
You know, I remember driving through Florida. I was visiting my in-laws, driving from Boca Raton up to Orlando with the kids in a van at the time, and the weather got really bad. We're like, what's going on? We turned on the radio, flipped it to AM, trying to get where's that, and we found that the tornado was going to be crossing right in front of us. If I would have been listening to a podcast or just enjoying my music, I could have been right in the middle of that thing. That's why this is so critical.
Yeah, well, you stay in a hotel room and you're trying to watch television and a storm hits because they're on satellite, and boom, the TV's completely out. And so, you know, without the AM radio, you really are disconnected. And I remember as a kid, and I said this earlier, but I remember that was freedom, because when I got my first AM radio, had a little single ear pod in it, you had to pull the telescoping antenna out, you had to aim it the right way, but it was an amazing opportunity for me to have freedom. My parents wanted to listen to their music, I could listen to my music in the car. So,
yeah, that's right. Do you remember? I remember as a kid, you know, when we got our first AM radio, my grandfather, my cousin, and I would stay up at night and just, you know, slowly tune that dial. And then all of a sudden, we're way up in northern Nebraska listening to, you know, a station out of Texas or Colorado or, you know, and that's just the power of the AM signal.
Yep. All right. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll be with Troy Miller talking about AM radio, being a little nostalgic.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're joined by Mike Carter as co-host, and our special guest is Troy Miller, the CEO of National Religious Broadcasters. We're talking about AM radio. He wrote an incredible op-ed, and one of the lines in it says, "Removing AM radio from cars would limit a historically free and open medium, placing control of information in the hands of a few powerful corporations." Well, when I was a kid, if you limited AM radio, you would be placing the power in a few powerful parents, and they would have gotten to determine, I would have had to listen to their music when we took cross-country trips instead of putting the earbud in and listening to my music. But to me, when I got an AM transistor radio, I remember my parents saying, well, you know, the Japanese one will be a little cheaper, but it's not as well made as the American one. It called a transistor radio, and I would tune in on the dial, and if I needed information, I could get it. If I needed entertainment, I could get it. If I wanted music, I could get it. News, weather, sports, Paul Harvey, good day. I get all of that on AM radio. And now they're talking, Troy, about pulling them out of cars? Tell us why.
Right. Yeah, and look, again, it's not about, you know, this $9 part or so that has to go in there. It's really about controlling that dashboard. And look, also, look, I'm going to say behind this, on AM radio, the top programming is conservative talk. That's number one. Christian talk and teach is number two, and Spanish language is number three, followed by sports. So if you look at that and you say, look, AM radio would silence a lot of conservative talk and a lot of Christian talk and teach that people tune into every day. And so, look, I'm not going beyond to say that the gatekeepers out there would love to see AM radio shut down. And I think if you lose AM radio, FM radio is not going to be far behind because they want to control all the flow of information.
Well, that's scary. I mean, the internet was supposed to be free and open and allow us access to information, and now they're crimping down on that, and you're allowed to see this, and you're not allowed to see that. That's misinformation. Man, Rush Limbaugh on AM radio, he made the difference in my political life.
He made the difference, I think, to even AM radio in terms of what that did for networks across the country out there. And I'm glad NRB is continuing to really make this a big part of what you guys do out there so that message can be heard. It's no surprise that people don't like this. When you went through that hierarchy of who's listening to it, you can see very clearly, do we really want AM radio or not if I'm one of those big elitists out there?
Yeah, well, sometimes it all comes down to money and economics. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in ways that promote liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, Patriot Mobile, is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And speaking of Patriot Mobile, you get freedom when you have a cell phone, right? But as a kid, my original freedom was a radio. For then my kids, it was their iPod. And then now it's an iPhone. But I wish I had an AM radio. I'm sure there is one. The app that I could put on, because I do not like having everything I listen to curated by somebody else.
That's an interesting idea. Is there an app out there for AM radio, Troy?
Well, look, I bet your favorite radio station, AM radio station, has an app out there, and you can go download that and stream them live. But again, the streaming side of it all depends on your cell towers being up and in coverage. And when you get out to rural Nebraska, when you get out into Idaho, when you get out to a lot of states across this country, you don't have an FM signal and you don't have that cell phone coverage, but you do have AM radio that's reaching you out there. You know, we used to have one. I'm old, so we had one that was actually, I baling wired it to the tractor. So when I was out raking hay, you know, you could listen to the radio. And look, that rural America depends on this, and a lot of Christians depend on this. And I'll tell you one area that also, I was recently at a conference, and a lot of Spanish pastors today are looking to reach the Spanish audience. And the largest Spanish audience out there is on AM radio. And so these pastors are were looking for a good cost-effective way to reach that. And of course, we know that the Spanish has moved more conservative, Spanish language has. So there's another reason that you would say these gatekeepers would love to see AM radio go away. There's really a push in this country to control the information right now. We see it in the major tech companies. We see it in the media. And of course, the last administration we saw with government collusion with all of them.
Didn't George Soros buy or help buy a bunch of Spanish language radio stations recently?
He did. He bought, I think it was right around 120 stations across the country. And he really came in and just outbid some conservative groups that were trying to had deals to buy those stations just to keep them out of their hands.
Wow. So obviously, AM radio is still impactful. It is not a useless appendage. By the way, when they tell me my appendix is useless, I plan on keeping it as long as I can. Same thing with all these other. It's not useless. It's useful. And AM radio is much more than that. It is a lifeline to people. I saw this. Israel reactivates AM for wartime communications, because it's what you said, Troy. It's AM radio can go through bunkers and bomb-proof spaces where FM cannot and internet does not. And this is January of last year. During the war, they had to reactivate AM stations. Does it play a role in our national security as well?
It does. It plays a huge role in our national security because, again, it's the only real viable, effective emergency alert system to notify people across the country. And so if you lose that, you're going to lose one of the best communication methods to help people in whether it's a time of national disaster or a military emergency that would happen across this country.
Well, I don't understand why car manufacturers want to take it out, because everybody has an AM radio now. I don't mind that they took out the cassette player. I don't mind that they took out the CD player so much, but I absolutely draw the line here. Don't take the radio out.
Can we keep the knobs, too? I kind of like just being able to grab a knob and push a button. Can we get back to that?
Yeah, I think so, too, because, man, trying to figure that BMW out to find out how to adjust the station.
To spin wheels and find AM, FM, satellite, you're like, and then click, and
Kevin... You make a good point there, because, you know, moving the cassette to a CD and then a CD, every single time those technology changes, those natural technology changes, it was replaced with something that you still had a choice in. You still had a choice to go ahead and now, you know, play MP3s right from your phone, or you had a choice to play CDs when cassettes were gone. This is an entire, everybody says, well, this is just a natural change in technology. No, it's not a natural change in technology. It's actually an unnatural change, because you're removing people's choices in this process. You're taking away their ability to freely choose what they want, and you're putting in place the ability for you to control the information. That's an entirely different scenario.
Well, and that control is very powerful. I remember reading about H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds, which went out over AM radio, and people heard it as news broadcasts, thought it was real, and so they reacted as if we really were being invaded. But I'm a sci-fi buff, and I've watched some other alien invasion movies, and the answer is generally you get to the radio station because it's the only way to communicate. I think it was The Quiet Place or one of those. They had to break into an AM radio station, and they had to broadcast that way to get information out. That even the radio signals in Independence Day, that old movie Independence Day, they used radio signals that they bounced around. This is really an important means of communication that is not under one universal control. I'm reading in National Association of Broadcasters, AM radio's essential role in the emergency alert system, says 77 radio stations play a crucial role, serving as primary entry points across the country, a vast majority of which are AM stations. They are designated radio stations whose signals cover 90% of the American population and have a direct connection to FEMA, the National Weather Service. In times of crisis, these stations receive emergency information and alerts directly from the federal government, ensuring a reliable and authoritative source of information for the public. And it's just not that expensive. It's not expensive to send out a radio. We've got the stations, we've got the receivers. Why would we strip them and take them away?
That's the logic right there. There's nothing about that that says, oh, that we need to take that away. That says we need to make sure we have this. We need to double down on it.
Yeah, at very low cost. Mm-hmm. But for you, Mike, we'll have to talk to the car manufacturers and get a knob so you can adjust the dial.
Yeah, a couple buttons for my favorite stations. I want quick access. I want to keep my eyes on the road.
How many of your programs at National Religious Broadcasters, how many of them depend on AM radio to share the gospel?
So we have over 120 AM broadcasters on stations, AM stations across this country, over 120, and 85% of the program producers depend on AM radio to get their messages out, especially to rural America.
So for Christians, this is a matter of whether or not we're going to be able to spread the gospel. This would be like taking away the printing press from Gutenberg. So you can't print Bibles anymore. They're going to be all digital. By the way, I think there will be a push to all digital. And when I pick up my iPhone and I've got a Bible app on it and it says updating, that bothers me. Why are they updating my Bible app? The Bible is not supposed to be changing here, right?
Yes. You never know nowadays. And the software updates are happening all the time. So having a way to speak directly without it being filtered is just a great peace of mind. And thank you, Troy, for the work that you've been doing on this to build awareness around this.
Yeah, well, let's talk. We're going to talk more about this. We've got a couple more segments, and I want to dive into what NRB is, the history, and how it's impacting America, because it really has made a difference. It's not a political organization, but it's a truth-based organization. And when you get into the truth, it changes your politics. So it's not intended to make you a Republican or a Democrat, but it is intended to awaken you to the truth of the gospel. And when you do that, that's going to change the way that you act. And if you take that away, the ability to speak to the American people on AM radio stations, like Rush Limbaugh and so many others have done, or the old-time Gospel Hour with Jerry Falwell and things like that, what you're really doing is you're limiting America's ability to receive the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've got just 30 seconds before the break. Any comments last on AM radio, Troy?
Yeah, just real quick. AM radio right now, the AM and Every Dash bill is moving through both the House and the Senate. And so it has a lot of support. We picked up 14 more co-sponsors just this week. So we're over 140 co-sponsors. So just ask the audience out there, hey, call your congressman, call your senator, and tell them you support AM radio in every car.
That's excellent. All right, we're Troy Miller talking about AM radio and also National Religious Broadcasters, and we'll be back with more after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm Mike Carter, and we're joined by our guest, Troy Miller, the president CEO of National Association of Religious Broadcasters, known as NRB. He's a senior executive with 30 years of business and management experience. He's become a friend. He's been out here to Liberty Hawk Ranch and visited with us as we're looking at artificial intelligence. We're not Luddites here. We're not saying, oh, we don't want new technology, but we don't want to let go of something good that's working like AM radio.
And the knob.
so you can tune it in on yourself. But Troy, we were just together at NRB. You hosted it here in Dallas-Fort Worth, in the beautiful city of Grapevine at the Gaylord Texan Hotel. Is a great electric dynamic conference. For those of our listeners who are not sure, what does NRB stand for and how did it come to be?
Yeah, so the National Religious Broadcasters Association came to be back in 1944 when radio was the new mass media medium to communicate to people. Pastors right away, early pastors have always been innovators. They saw radio as a way to get out the gospel, to reach people with the gospel, and to help the church be discipled. So they went to go on radio, and a couple things happened. First of all, the radio gatekeepers wanted to narrow their ability. They wanted to say, yo, you can only have this much time and you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. And then there was another group that said, well, hold on, we also want to control which pastors get on radio and which ones do not get on radio. So this group met at Moody Church in Chicago. They formed the NRB, and they have been fighting. We have been fighting ever since for the rights for Christian communicators in whatever form they are today, radio, television, digital, filmmakers, publishers, authors, you name it, whatever it is today, we advocate and fight for the rights for those communicators to be in the public sector and to be in the public space. That's one of the primary top things we do at NRB.
So that hits me to think of Oral Roberts. You went to Oral Roberts University, and Billy Graham, after them, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and all of those, pioneers in using media to spread the gospel. Was Billy Graham part of NRB back then?
He was. He was part of that early group. The Billy Graham radio was on there. And look, they were very effective. Within a year, they got the all of the major radio owners and companies to drop all of their restrictions out. And that opened up the pathways for Christian communicators to get on these mass communication tools.
Well, and not just that, but religious liberty creates liberty in all other areas. And this is,
right.
If you lose your religious freedom, you lose all your freedoms. Rush Limbaugh does not happen without the work of NRB early on saying, hey, wait a minute, people have a right to hear what they want to hear. They have freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. So your organization, not you because you're not that old, but your organization pioneered for so many of us to hear good news, information, and so forth.
Yeah, and I think what I saw at NRB was in just the bringing together of thought leadership, of influencers to be able to compare ideas, to say, how do we work together in different ways? I was at an event sponsored that brought in all the production movie folks and said, hey, you're the ones that can impact culture. We're having this special event for you just to say, all right, how do we take it to the next level? And we know Russell here has been working very aggressively on some of those pieces as well. But to get all those people in the same room and to be able to network and start to build ideas, and how do we increase that reach? How do we increase that impact? How do we really impact culture? Having a venue like this, very beneficial. And I'll say for my daughter, who's got a ministry, she's been expanding her ministry into Israel and some other areas. You know, I've shared before, I've gotten some surprise phone calls on my cell phone network because she's talking to a rabbi in Israel or something like that. She was able to come to the NRB and meet with folks that have contacts there and say, hey, we can not only help get this book into Israel, but help distribute it in the right places that can maximize impact. And to bring people together like that so we can really further the kingdom and what you're doing, I just think it's a really, really powerful organization.
Yeah, tell us about some of the speakers you've had. I ran into Nick Vujicic, I ran into Michelle Bachman, all dear friends. Liberty University was represented there. I went to hear John Solomon speak. But describe some of the speakers, the breakout sessions, and then what it's like to be in that big expo. It really was amazing for us.
Yeah, which is really the second major role for NRB, and that's really excellence in ministry and excellence in communications in particular. So the convention this year brought nearly 6,000 people together. We had over 270 exhibitors on the exhibit floor. We had over 100, I think it was 114 speakers this year that came in. And as you said, you named some of them, Jack Hibbs was in our opening session. He really set the tone for there. And then we love to put these panels together to bring industry experts in to talk about everything from what's going on in the culture to what's going on in technology. We had three day and a half and three full half-day sessions on just artificial intelligence and talk about artificial intelligence. So NRB's convention is really the place to go. As you said, it's the convening of everybody who works in this industry so you can really network and connect with folks to expand the ministry God's called you to, as well as find out where technology's headed. Where is this industry headed? Where's radio? What's the next rounds of radio? What's the next round in video distribution? Where's streaming going? How do we get into podcasting? How does podcasting get into radio? That was a huge session this year where for everybody who thinks radio's dead, a huge session on podcasters wanting to know how to get into radio and television was out there. And so that's the kind of people, that's the kind of expertise we bring together at these national events.
You know, and that's the amazing point is the people that, oh, you're just defending AM radio. That's old technology. Well, it's not. It's essential technology. It's emergency technology, as we've shared. Even Israel had to fire up their AM radio stations during the recent war. But also, you are at this leading edge. You were here at, I think, our AI summit that we held at Liberty Hawk, and AI has become a big part of the future of NRB and religious broadcasting and so forth. So what are some of the forward thinking? I mean, we're talking studios, we have representations, there's new, I've been watching the House of David, which I've really enjoyed, and that was kind of debuted there at NRB, and you know, so many phenomenal things happen. To me, I've gone to CPAC for years. I've gone to Charlie Kirk's AmFest. Love both of those. But equally exciting is the NRB convention and get together. Before you tell us what's coming next, when can people go to the next NRB? Where will it be, and what are the dates so people can write it down, because they won't want to miss it.
Yeah, write it down. It'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. It will be February 17th through the 20th at the Opryland Gaylord Hotel. And you can go out to nrbconvention.org, and you'll get all the updates of what's going on with the convention and when registration's going to open. And then you'll be kept up to date on all the speaker sessions, everything that's going to go on there for the NRB convention.
Yeah, you want to sign up for that as early as you can and get your hotel room as early as you can, because these things sell out. And it's amazing just the people you run into that you rub shoulders with, and they're like-minded, they're believers. I was interviewed in so many places, the Real Life Network, which this podcast runs on the Real Life Network, but I got interviewed by their news director and ran into Eric Steckelbeck and so many, Lance Wall now. I just name the list of friends that were represented there. You don't want to miss that. But the future of sharing the gospel. What were some of the takeaways you had from this last time when we gathered together in Grapevine?
Well, look, I think the future, first of all, we live in the most amazing time in human history, because we have never been able to communicate instantly around the globe to almost anyone. You know, so with the phones in our pocket, you can get on WhatsApp, you can get on Signal, you can get on all these kinds of apps out there, without having to make a long distance phone call. And you can be talking to a person around the world. You could be talking to multiple people. Plus this whole transition into this kind of social communications environment. I read a recent article that said the average social media user, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on Instagram, whether you're on X now, any of these platforms, you have the ability to influence over 400 people. So over 400 people, the average church in America is about 120. So you're influencing almost 3 to 4 times the size of the average church. And so it's just a fantastic time for us as Christians to be able to bring the gospel to the public square and around the world. And you never know who's listening or who might be watching your post. And all of a sudden you impacted somebody's life. Maybe they were thinking about having an abortion. Maybe they were depressed. Maybe they were suicidal out there. And they saw your post. They saw your like, your testimony, and that changed their life. So as Christian communicators, this is just a fantastic time to live in. Plus the tools to do this are, you know, so inexpensive compared to what it would have cost you 20, 30, or 40 years ago to get into this kind of communication. The tools are just, they're out there, they're readily available. You can do this for just as low as a few $100s, or you can be semi-professional for a few $1,000s. And so there's so much excitement out there. And then, of course, AI. AI, I think, is going to really, any tool we've ever created could be used for good and evil. But for us, the ability to use AI to enhance our communication and our communication abilities out there. Every ministry should be looking at this. We got left behind on the whole social media side because we were worried about the dangers of it. Well, let's go and claim it all for the kingdom and the glory of God.
Oh, absolutely. And the movement, the ability to move people. You know, I get interviewed a lot of places. I was just interviewed by Glenn Beck recently and others. I'll tell you what moves people is Flashpoint and Gene Bailey. And I ran into Gene there. And people get their news from Flashpoint or World Prayer Network with Jim Garlow. It's amazing. This is all religious broadcasting. It's a Christian worldview, but it's community. So you have the individual liberty that you can get from any of the sources, AM radio to podcast, but you also get the sense of community that you can build because you know that you're connected to other believers who are like-minded. Mike, did you have a...
Yeah, I think you said it all. So I'm not sure how to build on top of that, except that I'm glad that we have that. And you start to think about, you know, what the other side is, what the evil side does with social media. And the 400 viewers, they're 400, but with a bigger potentially market share out there. And so we've got to speak, let our voice be heard out there and get our message
the
out.
The devil wants to isolate us. The Lord wants us to draw us into community. NRB is about community. If you don't believe me, show up in February in Nashville and see. It is all about community, all about relationships, all about people. It really, truly is. And you'll see all the amazing technology that's emerging. All right, we're going to need to take another break. We've got one more segment with Troy Miller. We're going to talk about the future of NRB, some of the challenges, some of the opportunities, and some of the blessings. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And co-host Mike Carter and also Troy Miller is our special guest from National Religious Broadcasters. NRB has become an important part of our lives. We've shown up at it the past three or four conventions. The next one is February 17th through 20th, 2026 in Nashville at the Gaylord Opryland. You will not want to miss that. That is your opportunity to interact with some of your great heroes that you hear on the radio. You'll see in podcasts. You'll see on television. These are the people who have helped change the face of America, brought us back to Jesus, literally, and are holding at bay some of the threats of isolating us, some of the threats of controlling information, misinformation. They're some of the truth tellers during when we went through COVID and through the election and all that. Some of the truth that you had to find it. You probably listened to religious broadcasts of some form or fashion. So, Troy, we've got one segment left. Let's talk about the future of NRB. Where do you see it going and what opportunities, what risks, and what can our listeners do to help you?
Well, first of all, I think we have in the short term, at least, we have a very bright future right now because we have a very friendly government. We've been operating under this very heavy-handed, weaponized government, as we all know, was really bent against Christians and Christianity from every aspect of the government, every department of the government. There was something going on that was really targeted at Christians. So we have to take opportunity of that. Right now, just beyond what we're doing for AM radio, there's a number of other bills that are going through both the federal side of Congress and several state bills that we're tracking and working on. Another thing we're working on, Kevin, I don't know if you guys know about the Johnson Amendment, which is an amendment that Senator Johnson there out of Texas back in the 1950s slipped into a House reconciliation, and it silenced the pastors and the pulpits across this country. For 170 plus years, pulpits spoke out about candidates that were running for offices. They gave their opinions. We're taking the IRS to court right now over that. We think that's both a violation of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and it's been unequally applied since it came into place. Every one of the last five Democratic nominees have spoken in liberal progressive churches and not even received so much as a letter from the IRS Yeah, we have multiple churches who simply told their people about the major issues or prayed for candidates and immediately received letters from the IRS saying cease or desist, or we're going to pull your tax exempt status and pull your status. So we're taking the IRS to court. We think we have a great case. We think we're going to that's going to move forward. We're taking the FCC to court on some DEI stuff they're forcing on stations, and we're also taking to court the whole side of royalties. You know, there was a recent hearing on NPR and PBS, and you know, there's so many special carve outs for them that limit Christian broadcasters and communicators. For example, people like American Family Radio, they pay 18% higher royalty rates on music and other things than NPR does, simply because Congress gave NPR. So we're working all of those issues, plus all the issues that are going on in the boardrooms across this country, the C-suites, and the mainstream media. So look, there's no shortage of work for NRB to do. So you can keep track of all that work at nrb.org that's going on. And you really should be up to speed on that, because there are some very small things that can go through that can even affect how your church communicates through the internet, or even how it communicates internally, because a lot of people don't know the FCC controls licenses even on systems inside the church, microphones and wireless transmissions and all of those things. So there's a lot of work for us to be doing out there, Kevin.
You know, you mentioned that about the Johnson Amendment. I remember when I attended 1,000 evangelicals are invited to meet Donald J. Trump and Ben Carson. It was back in 2016 in New York. You may have been there. I was there.
I was there.
The Marriott Marquis. We looked down on Times Square, and Trump, at the time candidate, said, look out the window and look down and you'll see the naked cowboy on Times Square. He has more power and authority than you all in this room with your massive churches and massive audience. Why? Why does he? And he said, the Johnson Amendment, and we're going to have to get rid of that. Kelly Shackelford had been talking to him, they had a private meeting in advance, and Kelly said, this is our problem. He said, okay, I'm going to get rid of that. It's time to hold him to doing that.
And other than that letter that they send out, there's nobody that they've gone beyond that yet at this point. Is that correct, Stone?
Sorry, say that again.
Other than the letter that the IRS has sent to those pastors that have spoken up, they've never prosecuted anybody yet at this point, have they?
Over the last decade, there have been about three or four organizations who they've actually followed through and pulled their tax exemptions from it. But always conservative organizations or always Christian organizations. They've not even written so much as a letter to a liberal organization.
Wow. You know, and when I think of NRB, I think of, you know, the networking and what you're doing to get the message out. But I think what you just highlighted there, what you're doing so much behind the scenes legislatively to make sure we have free speech, to make sure we have religious liberty, important things NRB is doing.
Yeah, and again, it is. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. But Kevin, you guys asked too, the future of the optimistic. Look, I look at the next generation. Of course, we saw some numbers recently. Bible sales have gone up in America, people looking at that. The number of searches for people that are searching for, tell me about Jesus Christ, tell me about Christianity, tell me about what Christianity is all about. Those have surged as well, because people are finding out that the world is empty and it's giving them empty promises. And as a lot of these millennials and Gen Zers are getting older, they're finding out that the world has really lied and manipulated them. And it's no loss that mainstream media and mainstream entertainment has a lower confidence rate than pulpits do across this country. So people are looking for that, and they want answers. And look, we have the answers. The church has the answers. The scripture is the only place that has these answers. So I think we're just living in this wonderful, great opportunity time for us, if we have the courage to do it, to get out there and to share the gospel and to change people's lives. And we know all the things that government's doing is great. I'm happy with this administration. I love all the places they're going. But if the foundation underneath all that, the Christian foundation, isn't solidified, isn't solid, if it keeps eroding, then none of that's going to matter. None of that will matter, because we'll have a country that doesn't understand the principles and the foundations of both law, morality, ethics, and civility. All of those will go away, and the people will be so easily manipulated, and the government will become the only place they can look at for leadership and authority. That's the problem we have right now. That's the problem we have to address as Christian communicators, the foundation behind it all.
You know, and we're going to be talking with Tim Barton next week. I'll have Marnie as the co-host, and we'll be talking about the education system and how it used to be based on moral and religious teachings first. That was the foundation for it, allowing you to learn to think critically, and you know, our education has fallen. But NRB does an important role in this, and I've got a chart here, The Power of Christian Media. It shows that 67% of weekly churchgoers consume some form of Christian media regularly. This is building that community. As 141 million Americans watch or listen to Christian broadcasting every month, and 4,000-plus combined number of active Christian radio and television stations in the United States. And what this tells me, Troy, is you're doing a great job, because however many, 80 years ago when NRB started, Christian media was being squashed, canceled, cut off, shut down, silenced, removed, and NRB stood up, and as a result, we're seeing communities flourishing. We offer a community as a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just get saved and be in isolation. It's join together and know that there are others, Christian, onward Christian soldiers working together to bring the gospel.
And it's something that's always out there. If you're feeling kind of down, you can open the Bible and do things. But if you're driving your car, it's like, you know what? I just need some Christian music, or I need to hear a little inspiration today. Being able to available 24/7 like that is just comforting to know that we have something like the NRB and its affiliate partners really getting that message out.
And the combination of, I can stream something that's been pre-recorded and I can go select what I want, but sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to use radio and you just turn it on like we heard, and all of a sudden you're like, that is literally God speaking to me. I can hear him now, and I couldn't control it. I didn't choose it. It's just on the radio and I heard it. And I know people have had those experiences. I've had those experiences, and you've helped to make that possible, Troy. You and this fabulous organization you're a part of.
Well, that's great, and God is good. You're right, those experiences exist. The fastest growing listenership on radio is Christian talk and teach and Christian music. That was by Inside Radio Magazine recently, the fastest growing. And there's no place like the Christian broadcasters, you said, that you can tune in, and you're going to hear that hope. You're going to hear that positive. You're going to hear that your life matters, and not that you're just some accident in this society, in this world. So it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to lead this organization.
Well, and we're honored to be friends with you, Troy. We love to be participants in the NRB conventions and on Christian radio with American Family Radio and wherever, you know, podcasts and Real Life Network and all the terrific places we are. So thank you, Troy, for all that you're doing.
Well, and thank you guys, because it's programs like you that make our work so fulfilling, knowing that you guys are out there getting the truth to people and you're changing people's lives. And we're here to make sure you can keep doing that.
Oh, thank you. If you have questions, if you have comments, reach out to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And pray. We need to pray for NRB. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for America to return to God's principles. Yes, we need to pray to get back to business and doing it God's way. And there's a role for Pirate Money and Pirate Money Radio. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and so forth. This is Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter from Pirate Money Radio.